is Albert Lin, a serial entrepreneur who loves using technology to make life better, and your host for this podcast.
She got a degree in journalism, and she's always been a writing expert. And then about 3 years ago, she decided to focus on applying those skills to helping people make a great resume and cover letter. Lucy Yeomans, you're now running a company aptly named Sick Resumes. Lucy, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us about how you made this switch 3 years ago and where you came from and what got you going to where you are now.
Okay, sure. Well, I've worked in a variety of different industries, high tech, education, nonprofit, marketing. And I just, over the years, knowing that I love to write, people, friends and family have been coming to me, asking me for help with resumes and even interview prep. It's just something that's always been intuitive to me, but I realize that's a huge area of anxiety for many others. And I loved hearing the stories of how they got more interviews after I worked with them and how confident they were going into their interviews. And then a few years ago, due to family needs, I found myself in need of leaving my office job and staying home. And as soon as I made that decision, I started getting calls from friends to write resumes either for them or their soon-to-be college graduate children. So I looked into what it would take to become a certified resume writer and career coach and started my own business. And my business took off faster than I expected. And I'm really happy to be doing something that I love now, which is writing, strategic marketing, and helping people.
Well, I mean, I'd love to hear these great stories about how people can change, transition, and pivot and use the skills and relationships that they had in the past and bring it forward to something new. And when you talk about sick resumes, let's get to the heart of the matter. What are some of the symptoms that you look for that you can kind of immediately tell that your resume is sick?
Okay, great. Well, I think probably one of the biggest things that I see when I have a new client that shows me the resume that they have is it looks like what we all learned probably 10, 15 years ago, what a resume should look like. But today, with all of the online capabilities for searching for jobs and posting your resume, the competition is a lot stronger than it used to be. So your resume really needs to be able to stand out. And that comes in a few different forms. One is obviously, does it look like something that will stand out in a stack of 100 resumes? Will they remember it from any of the others that are in the stack? So aesthetically, it helps to stand out that way. But the other thing is, with all of the online tools, you really need to be able to stand out with content. And that's the biggest thing. Are you just listing all of the things, your responsibilities, or are you also telling the reader, here are the things that I've accomplished in my job. And since I accomplished these things in my job before, I know I can accomplish them in your job. So you need to prove that you're capable of doing the things they're looking for. Are you going to be able to solve their problem? And are you going to be able to make them look good? And you do that by proving you did that for your previous employer.
Got it. Do you have any examples? Like, what would be a traditional list of bullet point type things, and how could it be done better so that it meets what you're saying, where the reader now can envision how you actually come in and solve a problem they have?
Sure. So I have, just in this last week, I have this great sales exec who's been conducting a confidential job search. And he showed me a traditional resume, which was basically, you know, everything that you would expect. I sell X product to channel distribution clients in the semiconductor industry. And it doesn't say anything about what his achievements have been. Has he increased revenue? Has he saved the company money? Has he created new programs that increase sales? Did he build a team? Anything like that. And so after about 15 minutes talking to him, we'd already filled up a page of amazing accomplishments that he hadn't even thought of mentioning on his resume. And when I presented him with his finished product, he said, "Wow, I would hire this guy." And that's what you want in the resume, you know?
Of course. So you're telling me what it was very traditional for someone to just kind of describe their duty. So this applicant, he would write something like a bullet point that says, "Interfaced with international customers to sell semiconductor equipment."
Exactly.
And you're saying, let's transform that to something and tell me how you would sort of replace that to be something that actually stands out.
Sure. So instead of just leaving it at that, add what you did. So you were interfacing with these companies and you secured 15 new clients that brought in $3 million increase in revenue.
Okay, so just much more specific, easier to visualize. It just makes the reader understand and see what the applicant's capable of.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, one of the interesting things that you just sort of talked about are these application tracking systems and all these tools that the hiring companies now use. And there is a school of thought out there where other people say, wow, these tools are basically machine-driven, they're searching for keywords, et cetera. And I think that's part of the reason why so many people now have resumes with these huge laundry lists of bullets, because they're trying to figure out which keywords they need to have. Talk to us a little bit about what you think about the applicant tracking system and technology and how to best make the resume fit so that it works when a human sees it as well as works in an ATS system.
Okay, sure. Well, it's no secret. Good qualified candidates do get rejected by the ATS. It's unfortunate, but it's the best tool many companies have at this time, because on average, an online job posting will receive about 100 to 200 applications. And when you have a busy hiring manager who's looking for a good candidate, they don't really have the time to go through all those applications, so they rely on the ATS. But there are reasons why good candidates get kicked out. And probably the number one reason they get kicked out right now is because something was left blank on the application. And that could be something as simple as the ATS couldn't find the information on the resume. And there are a couple of things, basic things to be aware of. Probably the number one thing that ends up being blank is the contact information, because people are putting their contact information in the header. ATS can't read the information in headers and footers. So you want to make sure that you don't have your contact information in the header.
Very good. Yeah, that's a subtle point probably most people wouldn't realize, because obviously that's usually where people put that information historically.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of the templates, resume templates that are out there, will put the information in the header and footer, and you want to take that out.
Yeah.
Another key point to keep in mind is with 100 to 200 job seekers applying for the same job, you want to make sure that you're at least a 90% match to the job. If you're not, don't get your hopes up, because there are lots of people who will be. So you want to read the job description thoroughly. Does your resume tell the ATS and the reader that you have all the requirements they're looking for? Or is it the same generic resume you're throwing at every job posting? The ATS and the hiring manager can't read your mind, so you need to customize your resume and your cover letter for each job to increase your chances of being put in the call pile instead of the rejection pile.
Right. Okay, so then, now this is interesting because you've mentioned some subtle things, obviously, that require some real expertise, like how these screening systems work in the ATS and where you put your contact information, and now you're talking about some of the subtleties of, when should you apply or not? Because I'm sure people realize, hey, it only takes a click or two to apply. Why not apply for everything? But you're saying, okay, that's probably a bad tactic. And even though it didn't take a lot of effort, it's kind of wasted effort. So how do people best work with you? Because you offer several plans to where people can really get into the nitty-gritty and details to really perfect their resume and cover letter. Talk a little bit about your business and how you have that set up for people.
Okay, sure. So I firmly believe in a package approach because just having a well-written resume isn't enough. That is only one piece of your toolbox that you need when you go out and search for a job. You need to have a well-written LinkedIn profile too. And if you're not on LinkedIn and you're searching for a job, you really need to consider doing that. So I just really don't like to go out offering my clients just a resume and say good luck. So yeah,
it's just not enough nowadays, right? Because whoever reads the resume is certainly going to go to LinkedIn and other resources to do additional research if they're really interested in you.
Exactly. And there are all kinds of strategies that you can use when you're searching for a job. And it's so different today with all of the online capabilities. There are people you can reach out to, your network, finding new network, being strategic about who you reach out to, your interview prep, knowing what you offer, what's your value proposition statement, what's your professional brand. There are all of these aspects that you need to have before you go out and start talking to people.
Okay, so let's talk about the cover letter, because that's kind of the close cousin to the resume, but it's much more controversial. Everyone knows they have to have a resume or at least a customized resume ready to go, but the cover letter has now become kind of controversial. Some people think it's old-fashioned and not used and not necessary. Others put a lot of weight into it as a way to kind of prep people to break open the doors to get your resume looked at. What are your thoughts on the cover letter, and what can people do if they really want to make that an effective tool?
Oh yeah, this is one of the best ways to help yourself stand out among the competition. I've read statistics that say about 50% of cover letters are ever read. And the number one reason that I've seen saying why people do not read a cover letter is because it's a complete reiteration of the resume. So why do you want to read it twice? So this is your chance to really stand out and show why you're a good fit for the job. One of my college students just this week that I was working with, she was seeking an internship in a different state where she attends college, and she asked me for her help with her job search. So we put together this great eye-catching resume and a series of cover letters to a bunch of different organizations that she was interested in interning with. And each one of those letters was customized with her interest in that particular organization, what intrigued her about working for them, and why she thought she would be a good fit. What has she learned so far in her coursework that would apply towards it? The very next day, she got a call from one of them saying that they were so impressed with her credentials that they wanted to talk to her about a position. They didn't know if they had an internship, but they wanted to talk to her about a position. So it makes a difference. Show your interest in that company and what you have to offer them.
Yeah, the cover letter may be a better tool if you're a college or somebody that has less experience in the workforce, because your resume probably won't be as robust as somebody who has a lot of work experience. So your chances to really lay out your value proposition in the cover letter.
Absolutely. And it goes from college student all the way to C-level. I would say C-level is just as important with a cover letter as it is for a college student.
All right, now let's talk about something that you mentioned way early in our call, and that was you talked about a confidential search. Now we know at our website that about 75% of the people looking for jobs are employed. So sometimes that means being confidential is really, really important. So let's talk about that just briefly. What are your thoughts on how can you do an effective job search but at the same time maintain your confidentiality?
Yeah, this is where it's a really risky place to be, because obviously you don't want anybody to know. And I've got a checklist on my website for confidential job search seekers that they can get at any point. It's a free checklist. But one of the main things that you want to do is before you start going out and talking to anybody is to make sure you know what your value proposition statement is. Again, you want to be able to be very succinct and to the point when you're talking to people about what you have to offer. That will engage conversation with a lot of different people in a lot of different subjects. The other thing is, and this is really, really key, don't post your resume on a job board that somebody else can find, such as somebody in HR or your own boss. People have lost their jobs doing this, so don't do that. But there is an option. Some of the job boards are actually offering you an option to post your resume in a discreet way with limited information. So like Monster.com and ExecuNet, they're both sites, and many others have that option today. They realize that people need to stay confidential. And there's a whole list of other things that you can do.
Okay. So obviously the confidentiality thing is very specific to a person's situation. So I'm sure you have lots of different advice and ideas based on their actual condition. So let's talk about if somebody wants to work with you, you kind of offer, it looks like, three packages to make it easy for them to kind of choose to what depth and level they want to work with you at. Talk about those real quickly so that everyone at least knows how they can best work with you.
Okay, sure. So I have three different packages currently, but I customize based on the needs of my client. But the three packages I have listed are a do-it-yourself. Some people would prefer, they like what they, their writing style, or don't have the time to really invest in a custom program. So I do offer that, and I have how-to guides on writing the LinkedIn profile, resume, cover letter, and et cetera. Probably the most popular package is the Essential, and that is basically everything, soup to nuts. You've got cover letter, resume, LinkedIn profile, and job search coaching, and I also help you identify contact information for hiring managers. The ultimate package includes all of that, plus interview prep and salary negotiations. I also have a job search strategy guide that I review and we put into place the whole program, and it comes with 4 hours of job search strategy coaching.
Great. So that will offer a soup to nuts type solution. People can pick kind of what fits and what they need, and that gives them a lot of options. Great. Now, what's in your future? What are you working on as you're building your business? Anything to look forward to that we should expect in the next couple months or the balance of this year?
Sure. I have a new confidential job seeker package that I'm putting together and promoting. As I mentioned before, I've got a checklist on my website. People can grab that at any point. It's a free checklist. And I have some great tactics that I like to use that makes it a much more successful job search. It's maneuvering through those obstacles and avoiding big mistakes that people tend to make when they're conducting a confidential job search.
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly you don't want to make one of those big mistakes when you're doing a confidential one.
Yes. Not good.
Well, that is great. That is great. Well, I thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts. You're clearly in the field and have amassed quite a lot of exciting tips that we just heard about in a brief period of time, so I'm sure there's a lot more. So if people want to go to our resources page, they can get access and find out how to use you to the maximum and find the right program that fits them.
Yes, absolutely. And I offer free consultations, so if anybody just wants to talk and see if it's something I can help them with, I'm happy to talk with them anytime.
links and proper spelling for the people and places in this podcast. Check out our resources page or send an email to chase@careers.org.